My Money and Me with Sumitra Naidu
on Kaya 959.
This is My Money and Me. I'm Sumitra Naidu. My guest, my businesswoman on the move guest this evening is Wendy Nglomo-Wanko, and she is a property entrepreneur and the founder of The Living Collective. Wendy, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to me tonight.
Good evening, Sumitra, and thank you so much for having me.
So tell me a little bit, you know, I want to know the difference, right? So property entrepreneur, is this the new term for it? Is it different from an estate agent or a property business person?
Well, it is a real estate entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Well, not an agent, but an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. It's really someone who's working with property, whether to flip, so to purchase and you flip the property and you sell it, or you rent it out for a monthly income. So, but for me, it's different because I am in the space where I purchase the property, but then I keep the property and then I rent them out on a long-term and also on the short-term basis.
Okay. So, you know, there's so many questions I want to ask about how the business is running right now, right? Firstly, on capital and where you're getting it from. Before we get into that, I'd like to know how you actually started. What made you get into this?
Right. Okay. So, I was actually in corporate. So I was working in corporate for a couple of years. And, whilst I was working there, I was always interested in property, but just as a viable investment option. So, I had a few residential purchases that I made for, rental purposes. And as my career progressed, it just became more demanding for my family as it was also growing. So I had to make that hard decision to leave work and come back to Durban. And then as we were planning the move from Durban to come to St. Maritzburg, because that's where my husband's business was based, and the kids also were supposed to be moving to St. Maritzburg, then we started building our house there, sold in Durban, and we moved to St. Maritzburg. Unfortunately, the construction for our house was not complete, and we were looking for an alternative for a short-term rental. Okay. And we didn't find anything that was suitable. Ended up in a hotel for like 6 to 8 weeks, and that actually gave us the idea of the Living Collective. For the short-term rental, because there was no space where we could get like a fully furnished place, but with a flexibility of a short-term rental. And then I started to look at those little places that were here and there that I owned before to try and furnish them up and see if I can be able to use this particular idea of renting them out as furnished short-term rental. And it worked very well and started expanding and going into this business on a full-time basis.
I see. So you actually buy the properties and then you rent them out?
Yes, I actually buy the properties and then I rent them out. So the first, one of the very first ones, we already purchased properties. But then when we moved into the place that we are currently staying in, it's one of the estates in the area of Hilton in the Midlands, the place looked very ideal in terms of the location. Mm. So that also looked like the location is perfect. Wanted to do some, build some equity on it as well. So got some plots. We developed the place and had properties in there. And it was also ideal because it's one of the places that are surrounded by very sought after schools. So we thought that it's going to be a viable option for it because it could cater for parents that are coming in for to visit their kids who are based in these schools that are around the area. And it turned out to be quite positive, and we've never looked back since then.
I know that area is quite beautiful up there, but where did the capital come from to actually invest? I mean, these are big properties to buy. How many do you have in your books at the moment?
First one came in from the proceeds that came out from selling of the property. And then, as I said, we bought land and then built. And then from there, you build equity. When you build, you can be able to get money out of that property. And then that's where we could actually knock on the doors of the bank, because if you've got something from the bank, they are more than willing to listen to you in terms of financing you for the remainder of the equity, especially if it's commercial.
So that actually worked for you, and you were basically reinvesting and growing the business that way.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, still, you know, it takes a long time, and you know, property sometimes, you know, it sells. I mean, the commission is really great, and of course, you buying it to rent it out, you collecting that. But in order to actually get the property to buy, to have that whole process to go through, what were you doing in the meantime?
Well, you just have to be persevering because, as I said, there were already properties that I had in the beginning to work with, so those were assisting in terms of the operations and the cash flow, but the high-end properties are quite risky. So that's why it's very important to sort of like diversify and make sure that you've got different offerings that are able to mitigate those particular risks. And that's why that you find that in our portfolio, I've got the high-end properties that are around those Midlands areas, but we also have the apartments that are more densely populated, and you are able to get people coming in and out more easier, and you are able to get more people coming in for rental, short-term rental, and it just assists you in terms of the cash flow that keeps you going in terms of your capital and cash flow as well.
So when you bought the land, I mean, what kind of size are we looking at?
Oh, well, different types of sites, because mm-hmm. the place is not just in one area.
Okay.
But there's like different types of sites. Like, for instance, in Hilton, there's about 3,000 square meters in one area. So it just depended on what properties we are talking about. So on the sizes of the properties will vary based on the development that we're looking at.
It's always so interesting when you buy land. I mean, there's always a debate on whether it's better to actually buy land and build from scratch, and whether that's going to be cheaper than actually buying something that's already done. What did you find? I mean, obviously you went with the land, and 3,000 square meters is quite a substantial piece of land. What did you find in terms of construction?
For me, I found that the land was it's a land purchase from a developer as well. So it wasn't like a land that I still needed to develop. It was a piece of land that was part of a development. So the only thing that I needed to do was to just build, because the services were already in the development. So it made it a bit easier for me in terms of just building up that particular equity on that property. But preferably, I would say, after having experienced both of it, I would prefer a fully built house, because of just a headache of having to deal with building a house. It's a whole lot of hassle. Anyone who tells you that building is easy, it's very difficult. But I mean, there's no easy way to make money. So you just got to go with it. And it's a beautiful industry. I love working with building. I love property. I love interior designing, so it's really about me matching my passion with my work, and I've enjoyed dealing with it so far.
But I mean, surely, you know, as much as one likes it, I mean, you know, it's really exciting to actually, you know, demolish and turn something around or start from scratch. But you actually reach a point where enough is enough. If someone's telling you, you haven't ordered enough bricks and the cement has run out, and then suddenly inflation starts creeping in. This is not how much I budgeted
that.
For.
Yeah, not even just that. You know, even when the property is up and running, just the maintenance of it can be very costly, because to keep the property in its optimum value, you need to be able to maintain it on a regular basis. So it's not really just that quick scheme and easy to make money on property. It really is a waiting game. So you have to be very patient, because if you make a wrong decision, you can lose a lot of money when you're dealing with property. And also, not to mention that it's a space that's still very male dominated. So it's still quite a balance for you to be able to balance your feminine and masculine energy when you're dealing with your peers in the industry, and not to be seen to be too sensitive or to be too feminine and emotional when you are dealing with people in this particular industry. So it's quite difficult. It's quite tough. And I mean, we always think that being an entrepreneur is a glamorous job. It's a glamorous title, but it's actually quite tough. And sometimes you find that you don't even have money. You know, you are broke. You know, you're an entrepreneur.
I was just going to ask. I mean, you talk about sometimes losing money. Did you ever lose a whole lot of cash because something went wrong on the property?
Well, I wouldn't say like lose money, but I would say it just takes a lot of time to actually recover the invested money. So it, as I said, it's just a waiting game. You just have to persevere and make sure that you put in the work and just hope that you get the returns in what you're investing on. It's just also important to make sure that you have enough support system that will assist you in pushing through and making sure that you get that courage to push to push through. So luckily for me, I do have the support system that assists me in making sure that I'm able to push through when the going gets really, really tough. And it does get really tough.
I'm sure it does. And I'm sure you felt at some stage, or did you, that, you know, enough's enough, I can't actually do this anymore, or I'm calling it a day after the next one.
Definitely, it does get like that. But, you know, as you said, times are not the same. And then you'll find that there'll be just this one project that comes through and it gives you that excitement and mm-hmm. you can actually smile and see that you're in the right direction. So it's like a roller coaster, but it's very addictive. And, you know, when things are going good, you know, but you get that strength and you feel like you can push through and actually do this. And then the tough times come through as well and you feel like you don't have the energy. And that's why, as I said, it's good to surround yourself with some support system so that when times are not good, you know that you have those people that remind you that it's actually going to be okay. But it is something I wouldn't trade for anything. Just to have that time to manage for myself, it has really been a growth process for me, and I've really enjoyed working for myself.
Wendy, I want you to hold the line. We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about this challenges and how you actually got this to become the Living Collective. I'm talking to Wendy Nglomo Nwanko, and she is a property entrepreneur. She is the founder of the Living Collective.
My Money and Me with Sumitra Naidu
on Kaya 959.
Welcome back to My Money and Me. I'm talking to Wendy Nglomo Nwanko, property entrepreneur from KZN, and we're talking about her business called The Living Collective. Wendy, thank you so much for holding on and speaking to me tonight. We were talking about the challenges, and you also raised this issue around maintenance. I do know that, you know, when you own a house, just one house, you need to almost have a separate bank account just to maintain this property all the time. There's going to be a leak. You're going to need to fix the roof, or something's going to break. A door's going to break, or a handle's going to come off, or the garden needs to be done. All of that. I mean, I'm just thinking your one property at 3,000 square meters. I mean, whatever you built, I don't know how much space. Can you take me through how much you've built on that property? What is it like maintaining that?
Well, it really is a lot, because remember we have like a couple of properties that we're actually dealing with. I mean, with the apartments, there's 24 apartments that actually have people coming in and out on a daily basis. And as part of our service, we want to actually make sure that we meet people's expectations. And we have a particular product that we try to make sure that when people are coming through, we attract them and they are excited and they are happy. And if a client is not happy, we want to make sure that we find out what's the problem so that we can be able to fix that and make sure that we have a lesson to fix that. And you know, because what we want to make sure is that everything is a lesson and we learn from that and improve, because everyone needs to be happy. I mean, we have a slogan that says that everyone deserves a little TLC, because it's the Living Collective. So it also becomes a very expensive exercise, because as you have a lot of people coming in and out, you deal with different types of people. And some people will be very respectful to the space, and some people not so much respectful to the space. But you have to fix at all costs so that a new person that comes through does not have to pay for the previous person that was there. So it is a costly exercise to do the maintenance and repairs of that property on a daily basis.
And how often do people move in and out? I mean, how do you rent it? Do you rent out the space to people, you know, that are possibly in the situation that you were in, that needed a place for a few months to stay? Or is it, you know, like B&B, guest house? How does it work?
It's a B&B guest. It can be worked as a B&B or a guest house. It just really depends on someone's needs. So some people can be there on a one day and out. Some people, if they need it for a week, and some people can be there for a space up to 3 months, depending on their needs and requirements.
Okay. And then how do you manage that? I mean, if somebody leaves and something is damaged, I know, you know, you talk about deposits and things, but still, sometimes the damage can be quite extensive, or they could be leaving it in a complete state. It, you know, it could take quite a bit. And especially now when we talk about COVID and what needs to be done as people move in and out, how do you manage that on a regular basis to make sure that you are meeting the standards of probably the, you know, Guest House Association. I'm not too sure which one you are affiliated to.
Well, we do have the procedures and the protocols of having people coming in and then disinfecting and when people are leaving and preparing the space for the new people that are coming out. So the spaces that have not been disinfected are labeled so that they are not utilized, and it's only the ones that have been disinfected that can be utilized. There are people who are also there on the longer term basis, and those people are serviced 3 times a week because they are on a longer stay with us. But we are able to actually have the deposits also for those people and make sure that we inspect their properties before they vacate the place, and then be able to refund if nothing has been broken.
Mm.
But I must also say that the protocols that are in place is a very secure and safe space. So we've got security there that's very efficient. So we've not really had problems of people that become like unruly, that to an extent that a property can be like broken up or something like that. We've not had those kind of experiences.
And I suppose security as well is another cost factor for you.
Yes, it is, but it's also a very important one in the kind of business that we are running, just to make sure that everything has been run into order. And it has actually assisted us in making sure that everyone is respectful of everyone that's living in the property, and everyone experienced the fantastic experience of being at the Living Collective.
And in terms of the cash flow, in order to maintain all of this, how important is it for you to manage that cash flow? Not just about having the cash flow, but managing it properly.
It's been a very interesting exercise, because sometimes when you're starting out in the business environment and you see all this money coming through into your business account, you get excited as if this is going to be your money. But sooner or later you realize that it's actually the money that belongs to the business, and it's the money that needs to be reinvested into the business. And it requires a lot of discipline. And I've had to go through that exercise, made those particular mistakes, and learn from it. And that's why I said, sometimes it really, you can become very broke. And I say you become very broke, but it's because you have to discipline yourself and know that the money that comes through is really the money that needs to be saved up for business and for rainy days.
What is your most important lesson that you would like to share with other entrepreneurs that are probably going into this business or maybe in it already? But what is the most important lesson that you've learned during this time in building up the Living Collective? What would you like to share with those people?
I would like to share that everything looks very glamorous and glitzy when we look at it on the social media and other people sharing their experiences, and we look at it and we think it's something that's very easy. It's really not easy. It's very tough. But I would also say that it's rewarding. You can actually really build wealth when it comes to property, but it's something that really takes time. So you must be able to persevere and know that it will take you a long time to actually go through this particular process. It will be brutal. It will take you a long time, and it will take you sweat and tears and a lot of hard work. I mean, when I started the business, I would take calls even at night, because when you're building a brand and you're building a business, you need to make sure that you are responsive to everyone that's trying to get hold of your business. So, but after a while, it becomes worth it. So go for it. It's not going to be easy, but I promise it's going to be worth it in the end.
Wendy, thank you so much for sharing your insights into your business with us this evening. Thanks for your time. Wendy Ndlomo Wanko, property entrepreneur from KZN. She is the founder of The Living Collective. Thank you so much for your time.
My Money and Me with Sumitra Naidu, every Tuesday from 8 to 9 p.m.
on Kayan 959.